Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Somehow liberals come up with things we never see coming. New terms, new causes, things so insignificant you just laugh them off without thinking twice. Then there's times you hear something for the first time and think, wow, that's a thing. That's happening this week as Elon Musk prepares to host Saturday Night Live. For some reason, the cast is simply out of their minds that Musk is hosting, and they've been given the option to opt out and not work this week. Oh, this has to be good. And something really good is happening with other high-profile business leaders as well that's driving the left crazy. We may be winning on this one. A group of veterans that organized a charity bike ride to D.C. has been shut down by Joe Biden after 30 years of peaceful, patriotic fundraising celebrations on Memorial Day. This is just outrageous and un-American, but it serves the political left, so right now, that wins the day. In sports, we now know what the Royals look like when they go bad, and it's really bad right now. KC is blowing lead after lead as they look like they couldn't beat the Bad News Bears. Nobody in the bullpen has a set role. A couple guys are too old to be around, and despite decent starting pitching, the Royals have bombed against the light-hitting Indians so far. It's not good. Hey, there's two theories out there why Aaron Rodgers has some sort of a dramatic saga taking place in Green Bay, and it looks like neither is going to lead to a trade. We'll break that down. Former Chiefs player Marcus Peters gets profane on a podcast talking about getting traded by the Rams. The University of Louisville baseball coach is fighting mad over small crowds. He's speaking out. And we actually have something positive and nice to say about LeBron James on this episode of KKHI. Brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. The first appointment is free. Call 469-9191 or log on to fryorthodontics.com where your smile is just the start. Mention to them you listen to the podcast. If you are currently working with Fry Orthodontics, or if you sign up for that free appointment. And don't forget, they do something nobody else does. Free retainers for life and Invisalign for the same price as braces. Either one, I'm a big fan of Invisalign. Fewer appointments, less time missed, less painful, better hygiene. Check it out at fryorthodontics.com. Bstock.net, this week with an earpiece bonanza. That's right. If you buy any Samsung TV, they're going to kick in Samsung Galaxy Buds for free. Or if you buy an iPad or a MacBook, they'll give you AirPods for free this week only at bstock.net. That's B as in boy, online at bstock.net. Again, you're buying an iPad or a MacBook or a Samsung TV for less than you'd buy it anywhere else. And if you go to the outlet store yourself, you save even more. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. But when you buy those products this week, they're kicking in the earpieces, man. Pretty good stuff at bstock.net. And the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere in Manhattan on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Want to check them out online? Oh, beautiful upscale homes they've built as well. They can build a home for you anywhere in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. Back Nine Developments there for you. They do commercial real estate as well. TJ is exceptional. This is beautiful homes, beautiful projects, custom building. He's building some unbelievable houses right now as well. He can build you anything. He can build you anything. And right now, he's offering the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere, upscale condos on the Colbert Hills Golf Course, beginning at $249. They're one- and two-bedroom condos. They're really cool. If you'd like to take a tour, call TJ. He'll personally tour the facility with you. 785-236-0161. You got to wear a helmet, the hard hat. I did. I wore the hard hat and toured it all, and it is really, really nice. Solheim at Grandmere in Manhattan, 785-236-0161. Or online at back9development.com. It's the numeral 9, back9development.com. Okay, the liberals always tip their hand. They go crazy about something, and if they're mad about it, if they're really mad about it, that's something really good for all of us, and they cannot believe that Elon Musk is hosting Saturday Night Live. We're going to dive into this and try to figure out why. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Joslyn's Jewelry presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
There's always something going on that we don't really know about, and we're first tipped off by liberals when something comes up that you've never heard of before. And you're like, well, wait a second, what? And I've got some people that I know in my life that are at kind of the forefront of liberal thinking and what is the next big wave, what's the coming topic. I remember it started in 2008 prior to the election when I was accused of being a racist because I was not going to vote for Barack Obama. I said it has nothing to do with that. If he were conservative, I wouldn't just vote for him. I'd be out there campaigning for him. I'd be the biggest cheerleader he possibly had. It has nothing to do with skin color, but that wasn't good enough for some people that I knew that couldn't stand the thought that I wasn't open-minded to just vote for someone solely based on skin color as some sort of reparation for slavery. And I said, well, I'm really not into the policies at all, and I know what he's about and what he wants to do, and so I'm not voting for him. And I'd never really been called a racist. I'd worked for so many years in such a diverse workplace as being a sports reporter, where you learn very quickly at a very young age that there are hundreds of people that you will work with, a lot of times on a daily basis, from all over the world with all sorts of different backgrounds, skin colors, religions, faith. It couldn't possibly be more diverse than being in locker rooms covering sports. You just couldn't have it. Economic backgrounds, family structures, you name it. Everybody is different in a locker room. And so I had done this at that point for, well, not as long as now, 24 years I had done it at that point. And I thought, this is a ridiculous conversation. What I didn't know was coming was since 2008, that's been the constant drumbeat of the political left. It is just to attack, that everyone else that isn't with them is racist, period. And so it's been such a common theme, it becomes kind of white noise. You know, you hear it and it just kind of rolls off your back. I don't even listen to it anymore. It really bothered me at the time, because that meant something. I've said this a few times, that being called a racist and a liar used to mean something. Now it doesn't. Now you just brush it off and go, well, that's their problem, not mine. And it really is kind of a weird and sad thing. But I've noticed through the years, some things come up. I mentioned on the podcast this week, I didn't know what a cisgender was until the CIA video came out. I guess 90-some percent of all people are cisgenders, right? It means you're born one sex and you identify as that sex. Do I really need to announce my pronouns? I thought this stuff was all a joke a few years ago when I started hearing about pronouns, but they're serious about it. When you first hear it, you're like, what? And it becomes a real thing. Well, there's something going on right now that I think is a real thing, and it's a good thing. And this is not them bringing something on that is going to be their crazy, impassioned onslaught of media buzz to push something that nobody in the country really wants. That isn't it. This is something that's under their skin, and this is the first I've heard of it. And I've got several observations under one heading here, but the headline is Elon Musk. And Elon Musk, to me, is an interesting guy, and I'm not a giant fan. I'm not a hater. I don't know that much about him. I don't know a whole lot about his politics. I know that he's a very smart and brilliant man that has made billions of dollars. He builds electric cars and he puts rockets in space. That's pretty good. That's better than this podcast host, all right? So I tip my cap and I nod to him that he's an exceptional human being, an exceptional American, and has thrived in so many ways that I never possibly could. So I'll cede that point. He does some things to me that are a little outrageous that I would never do, and it gained him millions of fans. Going on Joe Rogan's podcast and just getting high with him, just sitting there smoking dope for 2 hours on a podcast, became the stuff of legend, and he got millions of fans for being that. That's not something I'd become a fan of a person for, all right? It just isn't. But I can't say that I know a lot about Elon Musk other than he's unpredictable, and he will do whatever the hell he wants to do. Elon Musk, somehow, surprising to me, the man that is making electric cars commonplace, supposedly cleaning the environment, moving us forward. It looks like, hey, this guy would be, he's a tech dude. He's in California. He openly just smokes pot. You would think this is the blueprint for a genius liberal that is going to push forward and do all these things and be the hero of the political left. And they hate him. They've moved on for now from Trump. And they're looking for people to hate, and it's become Elon Musk. Elon Musk is hosting Saturday Night Live this week. Cast members are, they're revolting against Lorne Michaels, the producer of the show. They're like, no, we're not going to do Saturday Night Live with Elon Musk. And I didn't understand this, and I still don't understand it. And I've read the quotes from these cast members that I don't know, that nobody really knows. You've never heard of them. And they're taking all these shots at Elon Musk for being the host. He's the first host of Saturday Night Live since 2015 when Donald Trump came on. That was the last time, 6 years ago, somebody was the host of the show that was not an actor or a singer. Okay? And so Elon Musk becomes that. He's the first one since Trump. And I think that's it. Trump went on to become president. And I think they're like, wait a second. You know, this guy can't be trusted. He's moving Tesla from California to Texas, just like Joe Rogan moved his podcast from California to Texas, just like 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson, the rapper who put out pro-Trump tweets in New York about lower taxes, is moving from New York to Houston, Texas. Just like all these people are doing it in the cast of Saturday Night Live, their heads are exploding over this. And Lorne Michaels has said, look, the cast is everything on this show. If you don't want to work with Elon Musk, tap out this week. We won't pay you this week. You don't have to be on the show. Let us know if you're in. Elon Musk, as the week goes on, is in New York with his girlfriend. They're being seen everywhere at restaurants that are open. They're running around town. He's got his mask on. He's not some anti-masker. He's not running around acting like some conservative crashing in on New York. I don't know if he's conservative or not. I don't know enough about Elon Musk. What I know about him is he wants less regulation, less government interference, and lower taxes. And he's moving his business. I doubt that he is socially conservative. I strongly doubt that. My guess is that he's socially pretty liberal, or as many conservatives are, we don't really spend a great deal of time thinking about those things and allow people who don't hurt others to live their own life however they want to live it. We don't care, but I'm also not going to be an activist for you. You know, I don't care what your, you know, sexual orientation is or the color of your skin or any of these things, your nationality, or the language you speak. I don't care. But don't ask me to be an advocate for you. You need to be your own advocate. You need to go live your life. I will live mine. You live yours. I'm not going to hate you, but I'm also not going to turn my life upside down being your advocate. That's just not my way. And I don't think it's very many conservatives' way. I don't know that about Elon Musk. I don't know. My sense of the guy is he probably leans left in a lot of things, but man, they can't stand this guy. And so this is the beginning of something, right? This is a little bit like years ago when some things were going on and you thought this is the first you've heard of it. I am just shocked. I mean, I can't tell you. I hate to lead with celebrity news on the podcast. It's not my favorite thing. There's something going on here that we don't yet know. There's something really, really good happening. This is a complete overreaction to Elon Musk hosting Saturday Night Live. I'm telling you, they've lost their minds over this. It's as if they asked Donald Trump to come host Saturday Night Live, which the cast would probably just boycott, right? Well, they're threatening boycotts, and some of them are maybe tapping out, and they're just blasting the guy right and left, and it's becoming a huge story that Elon Musk is hosting Saturday Night Live. And again, I'm not endorsing the man. I don't know his politics. What I know is if this man is that much under the skin of the cast of Saturday Night Live, we should all watch SNL this week and bump the ratings. We should all just watch it. I haven't watched it since I don't know when because I know what it's going to be. A bunch of left-wing stuff shoveled down my throat that isn't funny. By the way, liberals are not funny. I don't know if you've picked up on that. They're just not funny because they can't do comedy anymore. They're so sensitive about saying something that's offensive or whatever. They're not funny. The only times they could ever be funny is just if you're a liberal and they're attacking somebody on the right. And then maybe you'd think that was funny. But just generally speaking about humor and life and observation and comedy, they're not funny. I mean, like the Seinfeld show isn't even possible today because the things they did on there were genuinely funny. But today they'd get canceled because it's insensitive. You can't make fun. You can't have an episode where the deaf woman that can't speak, you want to learn how to sign and read lips because you want to date some girl. You couldn't do it. It's politically incorrect. You just can't do stuff like that anymore. To me, it's very funny. And a lot of things that I think are funny, I had somebody tell me that they know somebody that's pretty far left, and they've seen this Is it a Geico commercial? It's an insurance commercial where they're scooping ice cream in the kitchen. They go, scoop, there it is. You guys remember the song? Whoop, there it is. And the band is actually there. The two guys in the band are scooping the ice cream and everybody's dancing. That people are interpreting that as racist. I'm like, what? These dudes are cashing in on a song that's 25 years old doing a commercial that everybody loves and everybody moves to. And you're like, that's fun and funny and interesting and you like it. But you can't do anything today that features anything that is even, oh, it's just so darn annoying. But then there's Elon Musk, who has done something. I don't know what. He's got electric cars. He's a tech guy. He's Californian. He smokes pot all the time. What do they hate? I don't know, but I want to find out. And I now want to watch the episode. I don't think this is a ruse for publicity. These celebrities are too crazy. I mean, they're loco. They're too crazy. And the things they're saying on Twitter and about Elon Musk being there are real. So something's going on. I'm not saying that I think Elon Musk is going to run for president, but he could. He could. He absolutely could. So could Joe Rogan. So could Dana White, the CEO of UFC. These guys are all to go the Trump way and be completely different Republicans than you've ever seen. These would be, and to be honest, Trump probably is, but he catered, I could see through it. I don't think Trump is really Christian. I don't think church is his thing. I think he likes Christians. I think he respects Christians, but I don't think he wakes up every day that's like really high on his list, right? Is the church and Christians that are just, you know, faith is everything to them. He knew that was part of the party. He knew that he wanted them. And I do think he loves and respects them. I'm not saying that, but we're talking about a wave here. If we get into Elon Musk or Joe Rogan or Dana White, we're talking about people that Christian conservatives may not like at all. We're talking about a completely different kind of conservative. And maybe it's moving that way. And maybe the left is scared of that because they're really freaked out that Elon Musk is hosting Saturday Night Live. They don't like that at all. A magazine, Nantucket Magazine in the Northeast, obviously, has apologized for their cover story, the month of May, because the readers in the Northeast of their magazine have gone absolutely batspit crazy over Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports being on the cover. They write this feature piece about Portnoy, who's very interesting. I think of everybody that I've named now, he has the best chance of just flaming out, right? I like Portnoy, but I think he's got the best chance of flaming out. We've got all these people. We've got Dana White, Joe Rogan, Dave Portnoy, Elon Musk, Curtis Jackson now. I mean, you just keep naming them over and over and over. They're celebrities in some way that lean right, that want lower taxes, that are moving to Texas, that are altering the way they do business, that are speaking out against Democrats for just flat being wrong on policy. They're not blasting them over social stuff, by and large. They're not. This isn't an attack on race or LGBTQ or any of the stuff that's so important to the people on the far left. It's not. It's simply, your policies of government suck. And we're going to point it out. And these are people with unbelievably huge voices that some of us, that I can't even imagine, because they're reaching younger people. And it's getting through. It's like, wait, these policies suck, okay? You can be all for ending racism and being open to anybody's sexual orientation and still be a Republican. And we're breaking down barriers with this. I'm telling you, there's something really good happening here. This is the Trump effect. It has empowered people to say, yeah, your tax policy sucks, Democrats. It's wrong, okay? And we do need a military, and there are certain things that we have to do to protect our citizens, and these things are important. And so Nantucket Magazine has apologized to the readers it offended for putting Dave Portnoy on the cover. Why did they put Dave Portnoy on the cover? Well, they didn't prop him up. They didn't prop him up as some big conservative guy. In fact, there was very little of that in the article. The entire cover story was about Dave Portnoy and Barstool Sports raising $40 million with the Barstool Fund to support small businesses in the pandemic. It was this one man, through social media and some appearances on TV shows, raised $40 million of people that follow him, and doled it out to small businesses all over the country to save them during the pandemic. This is a reason, this is absolutely a reason to put somebody on the cover of the magazine. Dave Portnoy's from there. This is a great story. And why did the readers go crazy? And why has the magazine apologized for putting Dave Portnoy on? Not because they praised him for being a conservative, but because he is a conservative that they were praising for doing something nice. They did a positive cover story on him that made him look good. And people who read it that know he's conservative went bats bit crazy. That's what they did. They just went nuts. They unloaded on the magazine, and the magazine has apologized because it's very liberal. It was simply saying, look, we had a pandemic. This dude raised $40 million and helped a whole bunch of people. That's kind of what being a Democrat used to be, right? Or they hated corporations, and look at this guy that's made all this money in this big corporation, and he's doing a nice thing. Let's point that out. That used to be what they're about, but not anymore. It's not about doing the right thing. It's never about doing the right thing with Democrats and liberals. It's never. It is never about being kind to people. It's never about ignoring someone's sexual orientation or skin color or religion and being open to them, right? It's never about inclusion. It's never about that. There's nothing inclusive about being a conservative. You're out. You're out, and we don't care who you are. Caitlyn Jenner doesn't count in the LGBTQ community because the community is code word for the liberals that fit into one of those categories. All right? Racism only counts for black people that are liberal. If you're Tim Scott, you're out. We don't recognize or appreciate anything about your skin color or your journey in America or your ancestors. We don't, because you're not the right party of black people. This is how it works with them. And you see these people stepping out. Curtis Jackson's the next big one. Curtis Jackson is 50 Cent. He's a big rapper. He's got million. I think he's from St. Louis, isn't he? Is 50 from St. Louis? Big time guy. Lots of money. Lives in New York. He's done. He tweeted out during the election, hey, I don't know about treatment to black people. I've been treated pretty well, but 62% taxes or corporate taxes and what Biden's talking about with taxes, I'm out. I'm voting Trump. And he did. And now Biden is in and Curtis Jackson is moving from New York to Texas. Good move. Your taxes are going up more in New York. And so he's moving to Texas. This all makes sense. This happening on a Wednesday where Donald Trump is still banned by Facebook. Facebook's committee upheld the ban. They still can't stand Donald Trump and they want to keep him off Facebook. They can't stop these people, folks. This seems so shallow that it is celebrities we're talking about that can make a big difference, because we've always made fun of celebrities on the left. But these aren't, this isn't Tom Cruise or George Clooney. All right, these are movers and shakers. These are influence peddlers in a much bigger way. Nobody ever listened to Tom Cruise. People go to his movies and like his movies, but that doesn't mean you became a Scientologist because you went to a Tom Cruise movie. All right, you read some of the things he said and you thought, I'm not going there. All right, can't do that. George Clooney's a little out there. You see all these people that are loco and you're like, no, not so much. But when young people start reading that these people that have these, that are basically billionaires, a lot of them are going to be billionaires in time. I've mentioned Trump's a billionaire. Musk is a billionaire. Curtis Jackson and Joe Rogan are on a race to become a billionaire. Portnoy's behind them, but probably will get there at some point. These are mostly self-made people that have had tremendous success, and they're conveying to young people in America that the policies on the left are wrong. They're not good for your life. You can be open-hearted, open-minded, and like other people, but man, these policies are bad, and they're bad for America, and it is scaring the living daylights out of the left that this is happening. Remember, way back, 50s and 60s and whatnot, the Hollywood celebrities were all conservative. They were all conservative, big time. John Wayne and Frank Sinatra and all these people, they Were they friends with Democrat politicians? Yes. You were friends with John Kennedy, who today would be one of the most conservative people in Washington, D.C. You loved and appreciated Martin Luther King, who today would be a Republican. He would. And so this is what we're talking about and how far left everything has gone. And I just want to point it out that sometimes things pop up and you go, wait a second, I didn't know that. I've never heard of that. I haven't heard cisgender. So many things this week are so new to me. I had no idea the left hated Elon Musk like this. But the fact that they do is glorious. It's every reason in the world to watch Saturday Night Live. It's every reason in the world to get a copy of Nantucket Magazine and read about Dave Portnoy. It's every reason in the world to cancel your Facebook account and say, if Trump can't be on there, I'm out. It's every reason in the world to download a Curtis Jackson song or 50 Cent and say, I'll give this a try. This guy moved from New York to Texas. He's a smart guy. He gets it. I think it's awesome. And it's every reason in the world to watch that Saturday Night Live this week and see if some of those cast members don't show up because they have lost their minds that Elon Musk is hosting the show. Who knew? I mean, seriously, who knew? But there's got to be something good here. There was a motorcycle group of veterans called Rolling Thunder that changed its name to Rolling to Remember. They're all veterans. You pretty much have to be a service veteran to be in this group of bikers that gathers every year for 30 years and drives to Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day. They're called Rolling to Remember. They go by the monuments. They honor the fallen soldiers, and they finish at the Pentagon. They have raised millions of dollars for charity with this bike ride for 30 years. These are the best of America. They have served. They have been injured. They think every day of their fallen soldiers. They've given everything, and they can't wait for charity to go to D.C., go to the monuments, visit the grave sites, and finish their march, their ride at the Pentagon. 30 years of charity work. Rolling to Remember has been canceled this year by Joe Biden. The Biden administration will not allow this group to do what they have done for 30 years. They will not allow it. This is an overreaction to January 6th and what happened at the Capitol. This is, I don't know what, I think mostly what it is. You're Republicans and you're not coming. We're not allowing it. We're cutting you off. You cannot go to the Pentagon. I suspect they're going to find their way to ride around D.C. and get to some places, but what they do has been altered. This is so shameful for the Biden administration. We have 30 years of goodwill, money raised for charity, and no trouble from this organization, and you won't let them do what they do. This is despicable by the Biden administration. This is as low and classless as it gets. This is a form of repressing and squashing free speech, personal liberties, in the name of politics. The liberals are fighting their fight, and they are not letting these conservatives roll in on their bikes and have Americans look at them and go, well, what a nice group. What a nice group of peace-loving people that served our country, that are honoring the fallen, that are raising money for charity, and their mecca is the Pentagon, to worship it and say we love what the armed forces have done for America through the years. I can't even believe this is happening in this country. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You know, this is all at the same time where we still can't believe the election results. It can't be possible. Kamala Harris is in Milwaukee on Tuesday touting the infrastructure bill. She's going to Wisconsin, Milwaukee because they have some initiative there that she's going to go check out. This motorcade is like 20 cars long. It looks like the presidential motorcade. It is massive. She's rolling through and she's rolling into the university and she's waving at people. And the cameras turn, and there's nobody to wave at. It's all fake. There was nobody greeting Kamala Harris. Not one person showed up to support her and say, we love you, Kamala. You're here. Not one person. There were scattered about a dozen, maybe 20, people with signs of protest over tax policy and the infrastructure bill. They certainly weren't there to cheer her. It was a lame protest, to be honest. Even that didn't garner much attention or fervor from people to show up and say, we're sick of her. And it just sort of encapsulates for me that most of America right now is just, I think most of America is just caught into a state of mind where it's like, I'm taking a heavy sigh and a deep breath. I'm checking out on this stuff for a while. I got so much Trump fatigue from the media on the left and being inundated with all this Trump stuff for so long. We just don't care right now. We just don't care about anything. And I'm telling you, that's their game plan. They are lulling America to sleep. Biden is boring. Kamala Harris has nobody that supports her. Nobody cares about these people. Most of America is not paying any attention to anything they're doing. This is their plan. Bore America to sleep and pass what we want. And it shows up in some of the things that they do. Biden had a news conference yesterday. He's trying to get people to take the vaccine. The problem with ginning up support for the vaccine is you're boring and nobody's paying attention to you, Joe. He said, he was trying to say go to vaccine.gov, and he said go to vaccine.gum. Twice he said vaccine.gum. He accused people of not getting the shots as being lazy. You're lazy if you don't get it. Well, don't call me a name, President Biden, and don't call other people names like that. There is no blanket reason for people. We're intelligent. We make up our own minds. We're Americans, and don't call me lazy. I'm anything but lazy. I've been anything but lazy my entire life, and I am certainly not lazy about the vaccine. I've probably read more about the vaccine than Joe Biden, to be honest. He just has people around him that says, do this, say this, and he does it. I'd be willing to bet I've read more about the vaccine than Joe Biden, and that's not lazy. This happening on the same day that Dr. Fauci is doing interviews. And he makes a comment now that he doesn't believe herd immunity applies to COVID-19. It is remarkable. If we did one of these little, like a timeline thing of the things that Fauci has said, it is remarkable how this man changes his tune. He's now saying herd immunity doesn't apply. He's not saying you can't reach herd immunity. What he's saying is herd immunity is not a thing with COVID-19. It won't matter. It won't go away. You won't get rid of it. It is going to be something that is around that is very small and somewhat insignificant, but it will kill people, and it's just going to be part of life. That herd immunity will not make it go away. Just like the flu hasn't gone away, and an average of 50,000 Americans a year die from the flu. Although nobody died this year because they all got counted as COVID. A lot of other things counted as COVID deaths too. He's now saying herd immunity doesn't apply. It's like saying there's no herd immunity for the flu. We can't get rid of it. There's not enough. You can't get rid of it. The virus will come back in some form. Influenza will be around. What we can do is we can treat it. We have a vaccine for the flu. We can help people that are at risk. We can do a lot of things for it, but it's still here. The flu is still here every year. The flu is a virus, not unlike COVID-19. And the flu, like COVID-19, kills people every year in America. And I think that's what he's saying, and I think that's right, but he spent the whole year trying to get us to live our lives in a way to reach herd immunity. It was a lie. It was fake. What I'm hearing Fauci say now is herd immunity is not possible. Herd immunity with some things, when you reach it, eliminate it. It goes away and it becomes a non-factor. That never happened with the flu. That's not going to happen here, is what I'm hearing him say. And that means for a year, they've been lying to us. We need to get the vaccine. We got to get to herd immunity. We have to shut everything down. Herd immunity is possible. And now Fauci is saying herd immunity does not apply to COVID-19, that there is no such thing. It is remarkable where they move around and how the goalposts just keep getting shifted on so many of these things. It's just crazy. In our news portion today, we'll finish with something a lot more lighthearted, right? Let's do something a little more lighthearted right here. A man in Michigan has built a wall of poop. It's pretty high. I mean, it looks like it's a good 5-6 feet high. It's 250 feet long. It's on his property line. He's had a dispute. His family's owned the land for 100 years. This is in Michigan. It looks like farmland. It looks like big open spaces. This is not in town somewhere. He has had a property line dispute with his neighbor. And so he has put on his property line a 250-foot long wall of poop. The prevailing winds blow toward his neighbor. It stinks to the high heaven. It's mostly manure, cow manure and stuff, but he's put it there. It is not against the law. Environmentalists will tell you it's actually a good thing to do because it's so offensive. It will keep animals from getting trapped in fences and different things like that. This is a good way to break it down. It's compost. It's what you do. It's a good way to break it down. Manny put it right on the property line as close as he could to his neighbor where the prevailing winds blow that stench to the neighbor. I don't know what to say there other than I give the man great credit for being, I don't want to say he's genius, but he's certainly got some creativity to him, some intellect. Maybe the property line dispute will end quickly the way he's done it. I would never have thought of something like that, but I'm always willing to tip my cap to somebody who has a cause, who has something that's important to them, and they've gone out and done something creative that really isn't harmful. He's not firing shots at the guy. He didn't beat him up. You know, it wasn't something like that. So I got to have a little bit of respect here for the man in Michigan who has built the 250-foot wall of poop. KKHI is brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Roberts Robinson just makes it easy. It's the way it works with Mike and Tim and the whole crew on the showroom floor. They're good folks. They got a great selection of Buick SUVs right now. Some models of all types of different cars around the country are in short supply. Very short supply. Trucks are in high demand. He's got some Sierras on the lot. A couple of Silverados have gotten some in here. So it's getting better. The supply is getting back. But right now, if you're looking for a Buick SUV, these are really nice luxury SUVs. Experience the new Buick at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs, or build your own online at robertsrobinson.com. Give Tim a call. He's the sales manager on the floor every day. Tim Trader is his name. Give Tim a call and say, look, I heard about you on Kevin's podcast, and I'm in the market for a Chevy, a GMC, or a Buick, and I'm maybe 3 or 4 months down the road, so let's just order it. Let's just build it. Will you help me build it? And he'll say yes, and they'll give you every nickel you have coming to you off the price. They'll show you the entire step of the way. You know, when I've talked with Mike about this, he says, the consumers are really smart now. They know everything about the car buying experience, so we don't even mess with that. Because I told him, I build my car. I said, you're a client of mine. I want to be a customer of yours. You're building me a Chevy Blazer. You set the price. Whatever it is good. He goes, no, I'm going to walk you through. I'm taking all this off. I said, Mike, you don't have to go the extra mile for me on the price of my car. I really appreciate what you do with the podcast, and I want to support your business. He said, Kevin, this is what we do with everyone. There is no haggling anymore. We're going to cut you all the way down as low as we can possibly get you. They'll do this over the phone no matter where you live, and they'll deliver the car to where you live. He's delivering one to Florida. I know he's delivering another one to Branson. Doesn't matter where you live. If you're in the market for a new Chevy, Buick, or GMC, Roberts Robinson is the way to go. You're going to like these people. They're like you, and they're like me. And you can do it all over the phone with a computer screen in front of you and see the entire deal. It's really cool. RobertsRobinson.com or give him a call and ask for Tim on the showroom floor. He's the general sales manager there. Buck Roofing and Construction. It's the only company I trust with the roof over my new house. Ron Buck's team is available 24/7 for emergencies. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Free inspections this spring right now. Just call them at Buck Roofing, 384-2680. That's 384-2680. Mention the podcast and get a free roof inspection from Buck Roofing. And Elite Automation, designing, installing intelligent building systems. Elite really should be doing the Jackson County Courthouse. They got $1.7 million over there to get new air conditioning. They really need to talk to Elite Automation about an intelligent system to control all the HVAC within that courthouse. I understand the building's 90 years old. Everything crapped out. They need new HVAC, and that is not what Elite does. What Elite does is they do the control systems to maximize the comfort and savings. They're so efficient at what they do. You can make your building great again without buying a new air conditioner. Summer's coming. If your bills go way up in the summertime at your office, your church, your school, your warehouse, you really got to talk to these folks at Elite Automation. They can save you thousands of dollars on your heating and air conditioning costs online at eliteautomate.com. Well, we now know what the Royals look like when things go bad. We know. We know exactly what they look like. When they go bad, and I've been talking about this all year as they were winning, when they go bad, they get the lead and they blow the lead. And I'm not going to rant today, but I'm not very happy because we were all starting to buy in. Here were the Royals, best team in baseball, best record in baseball. And right now it looks like they can't beat anyone. And they'll never beat anyone again. And they're destined for next to last place. That's what they look like. That's what they're playing like. They're kicking the ball around, which they never really stopped doing while they were winning. The bullpen has been smoke and mirrors. I'm sorry. It has been. And this isn't even old school. Nobody out there has a role. And hanging on to Holland and Davis, to me, has been a bad sign from the get-go. And Holland came in and gave up a big hit last night, and there went the lead. I don't know whether Holland's going to pitch in the eighth inning, the ninth inning, the fifth inning. I don't know when he's coming in. And I guess maybe Mike Matheny wanted it that way. Maybe he wanted it early. Maybe he's trying to keep everybody sharp out there. Hey, you don't know when you're going to pitch. Stay in the game. Keep your eye on it all. I don't know what he's doing. And I can't be overly critical of Mike Matheny because they are off to a good start, and maybe they'll turn this thing around. But they've lost 4 out of 5 now, and it's been ugly. The pitching stinks, except for Danny Duffy going out and dominating on Saturday. Look, the last two nights, they've had pretty good starting pitching against Cleveland, and they've had leads. Matheny comes in with a hook, takes his starter out, all hell breaks loose. And then they're not competitive. It's big innings. It's loaded bases and gappers. It's disgusting. It is hard to watch. You just buy in and you get excited and you think they're good, and it's just blow this game, blow this game, blow this game. And the pitching is woeful. And it seems like maybe it's because it's in division and these teams know the Royals pitcher. Maybe. But the starting pitching the last couple nights has been good enough to win. The bullpen has been awful. This is what it looks like when nobody has a role, when you're hanging on to two guys that everybody else in baseball has given up on, in Holland and Davis, and you're hoping against hope, and maybe it simply is a case as the Royals aren't ready. Maybe there aren't enough young pitchers ready yet. Maybe they aren't, and we got to hang on to these old guys. I don't know. But yesterday, the Royals signed Alcides Escobar to a minor league contract. I don't know what that's about. What on earth could that be about? It's a simple question. What on earth is signing Alcides Escobar to a minor league contract about? Mondesi's coming back shortly. Nicky Lopez has done an okay job at shortstop. I don't think he's consistent enough. I think he kicks the ball around more than people say. They want to say he's a great defender. He's a good defender. He's a second baseman. He's not a shortstop. He's done okay there. But there's too many big plays that if you don't make them at shortstop, it can cost you the game. And he's done that in the last week a couple of times. You can't kick it. So Mondesi's almost back, and Bobby Witt Jr. is the number one prospect in the organization. If the Royals have depth anywhere right now, they have it at shortstop. I don't know what the order is, how you want to order them. Mondesi, Witt, Lopez, or where they're going to wind up, because Witt may wind up at third base. I can't really say, but if they have depth anywhere, it's shortstop. And they sign Alcides Escobar, and this is now like the sixth guy in the organization this year that was on the 2015 team, that was gone and came back. It was on the 2015 team. I don't know what they're doing in that regard. And I'm mad. I'm disappointed. I can't stand the way they're playing. I was feeling good last night. Salvi hits a home run that went 700 yards, and they're in the dugout and they're all laughing. It's 3-0, and they're getting good starting pitching, and Miner's throwing a no hitter, and you're like, okay, they've got this one. And then just all hell breaks loose. Would Miner give up 2 hits? But they pull him out of the game, and then the bullpen melts down. Gone. Very sad, very disappointing. There's just no other way to describe it. They need to get it turned around. We know what the Royals look like when they go bad. We have seen it over the last 5 games. In football, Aaron Rodgers' saga continues, and there are now 2 camps. It doesn't look like there's going to be a trade. The Packers are holding firm. Doesn't look like they're going to do a trade, and I wouldn't trade the guy either. Look, there's one school of thought and group of people that think what this is all about is money, that Aaron Rodgers makes half of what Patrick Mahomes makes, and he wants to be paid more, and they're in a contract negotiation, and it's about nothing else. And Rodgers is threatening to retire, and I'm going to go host Jeopardy if you don't pay me my money, and or trade me or get me out of here. I'm never playing for you again, is Rodgers' stance at this point. And there are people that believe it's about money. There are other people that believe that he is unhappy with the Packers, that this is about the general manager that he hates, that the general manager a year ago drafted quarterback Jordan Love and never told Aaron Rodgers it was a possibility. There's a courtesy with starting quarterbacks in the NFL. The Chiefs did this with Alex Smith. Before they drafted Patrick Mahomes, they told him before the draft, they called him in and said, hey, Alex, just want to let you know, there's a chance we're going quarterback this year. If it works out and we see a couple guys that we like, we may draft a quarterback. Don't want you to be offended. You're our guy. You're starting every game next year. You're it. No matter what we do, if we draft one, you're the man. They called him and told him that. And he has said to this day how much he respected that and appreciated that. So he wasn't surprised. He was probably surprised the Chiefs traded up 17 spots or whatever it was to get Patrick Mahomes. But he wasn't surprised they got a quarterback. I think he felt like maybe they'd get one at the back end of the first round. But they made the big move, and it became very, very clear very quickly to Alex Smith that Patrick Mahomes was going to take his job. But it was never a problem. While Alex was playing his final year here, the Chiefs were winning and going to the playoffs and had a chance to be a contender, and things were good. And he knew, and he understood. And he saw Mahomes in practice and went, yep, that guy's taking my job. The Bears did that this offseason, and their quarterback is Andy Dalton, right? They told him there's a possibility they were going quarterback. They didn't tell Andy Dalton there's a possibility we're going to give up the farm, move up to 11, and get Justin Fields, but they did. I think that would be probably a mistake, trading all that for Fields, because I don't think he's that great. The Buccaneers even told Tom Brady a few weeks ago, hey, listen, Tom, there's a chance something could happen in this draft, and we'll get a quarterback. We just want to let you know. And Brady's like, I get it. And they've told him, as long as you're here, Tom, you're our starter. You're the guy. But, you know, we just can't tell how long you're going to be here. And what a great situation to bring a young guy in under Tom Brady. Wouldn't you love to do that? Well, the Packers didn't do that with Aaron Rodgers. My guess is the reason they didn't do it is he's just difficult. And a lot of people don't like Aaron Rodgers. But Rodgers' problem, he's got a problem with the GM, and he's mad that he didn't get tipped off. Apparently, it's not about Matt LaFleur, the coach. But I still don't see a trade happening. I don't see it happening. I think somehow this gets worked out and he gets a big fat contract and they agree that he and the GM will never be in the same room together, and that's that. That's just a hunch. We'll see. But there is definitely an Aaron Rodgers saga taking place. Also in the NFL, former Chief Marcus Peters was on the Aqib Talib podcast. I may have to listen to that. The Aqib Talib podcast with Marcus Peters as the guest. And he was asked about being traded twice in 6 years because Marcus Peters is a malcontent and he was not good for business in Kansas City and he got in a fight with a coach and he's a pain in the rear. He's a complete pain in the rear as an employee, as a football teammate. He's terrible. Chiefs traded him, but then the Rams traded him. And Peters got no bridge, no beef with the Chiefs apparently. And that trade and how that went down. But on the Aqib Talib podcast, he was asked about the Rams by Aqib Talib, and Marcus Peter's response was, F them. And he said it. He said the word, and he went through a complete diatribe about everything they did to him. And, you know, they brought in Jalen Ramsey right after they traded him. And it's like, oh, no, no, no. He is still grinding against the Rams. And Marcus Peters did not hold back. And I'm not surprised that he's out there cursing on the Aqib Talib podcast. You may want to check that one out. If you like podcasts, I'm sure it's everywhere. Louisville has a fine baseball program, University of Louisville, and their coach makes a lot of money. He's been there a long time, Dan McConnell. He makes a lot of money for a college baseball coach, over $1 million a year. That's a lot for a college baseball coach. And his team over the weekend defeated Vanderbilt, which is the number two team in the country. And that's not a big surprise. Louisville's really good, right? But Louisville is where the Louisville Slugger's from. And Louisville, the University of Louisville, and the AAA team there, baseball is big in Louisville, even though they don't have a major league team. The college team is a big deal, and the AAA team is a big deal. Very big deals. They love baseball in Louisville. They love it. They cherish it. There's a history. And the Louisville baseball coach is accustomed to playing in front of full houses, big crowds. For college baseball games, big, big crowds. And he just went off. And they posted on social media, he said, quote, I'm tired of playing games without fans in the stands. Unquote. And he goes, let's get off our butts here and let's change this. At At the center of his complaint is not that people aren't showing up for his games. They're only allowing 20% capacity, and it's not enough for him. And they just beaten the number two team in the country, and I think they're hosting a regional or a super regional. He's like, we want the fans here. The state of Kentucky right now is at 20% capacity at outdoor sporting events. And I agree with him. This is stupidity. This is all dumb now. It's all dumb. It's over. All right? People will still get sick. People will still die. But the way we have lived and what we have done to ourselves is over. It's time to move on. You know if you're vaccinated. You know if you've had COVID. You know if you're high risk. It's over. Otherwise, what's the point of the vaccine? And so I'm with this baseball coach, and he has made a very passionate plea to the state of Kentucky to lift the 20% crowd number and fill his stadium. And I applaud him for doing that. And more people in sports, I think, are stepping out and saying things like that. Hey, love the fans back here. Let's get more. Let's expand the crowds. I'm all in. And mark the date on your calendar. It is Cinco de Mayo. It's May 5th. But mark the date as maybe the only time you will ever hear me say positive things about LeBron James on the podcast. I am not a fan of LeBron James. I've never been a fan of LeBron James. It's not political. I didn't like the whole thing he did back in the day when he did the decision or whatever they called the thing, where he did the thing with Jim Gray and, you know, all these things that went on and leaving Cleveland. I've just not liked LeBron. I've not been a fan. Then it's become political and all this other stuff is taking place. Well, he's done something good here. And I think he was forced to do something good, but that's okay too. LeBron James has done a 180 for his comments about the Ohio cop, that you're next, you know, for shooting the girl with the knife who was about to kill or stab the other girl. He's basically done a 180 and said, I was wrong. My message was wrong. My message was wrong. And he's apologized it sincerely. And I think the backlash against him and his brand and everything else is real this time, because there are people on the left that are saying you were wrong. And he jumped to conclusions and he did this. And I don't, you know, nobody's revisiting the story, but if you noticed the initial reaction to this, the left was all over it. They wanted the cop. You know, the left wanted the cop there. Oh, there's another cop, another white cop killing a black person. So they wanted him, and that lasted about 24 hours. And people saw the video and went, yeah, no. And it went away. And it went away on the left. And LeBron James has now seen that. And he knows that he was wrong, and he reacted too quickly. And I think he means it because he knows he was wrong, and that's okay. And I'm going to say, good enough, LeBron. I accept your apology on this one. All anybody's going to ask of you going forward is to take a deep breath, be fair, and do something reasonable. I had a friend tell me this weekend who was absolutely right. Plug your own child into that situation. Okay? Let's say your daughter was the girl wearing the pink jumpsuit and was about to get stabbed. Do you want the cop arrested and charged with murder for saving your daughter's life? Just take a deep breath, step back, and put your child in the victim's place. That's all anybody asks. Just be fair. And maybe he will going forward. That would certainly be nice. All right, as always, thanks for listening to KKHI. Hit that follow, like, subscribe button. You're crushing it out there. And a lot of people, I've had 3 or 4 people in the last 2 days where I've gone out have asked me about my podcast. They heard you're doing the podcast. What's the story on that? And I hand them a card. I say, it's Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. You can listen this way. People are talking about it. The word is getting out. And I have you to thank for that. That is incredible that you're doing that you're mentioning to other people, hey, there's this podcast. And if you've never listened to a podcast, just listen to this instead of a radio show for an hour. You listen to AM radio forever, right? Sports talk, news talk, whatever. You get it all right here in one place in under an hour, and it's relatively commercial free. I do the reads for the sponsors in the middle of the thing, but we don't take breaks. You don't channel surf, whatever. 80-some percent of you listen to the entire podcast. It's a pretty cool deal. Let people know. It's very easy. Just plug it through on your phone. You can Bluetooth it in your car. You can do it in your headphones. It's so easy. Even for someone who's older that's never listened to a podcast, just tell them that I'm the worst at technology. And not only have I learned how to listen to podcasts, I've learned how to do a podcast. Okay? So there, that's A. If I can, I'm serious. You hear this all the time. If I can do it, anybody can do it. It is absolutely true. So even if it's your parents, if they're in their 70s or whatever, and you think they'll like the message, and then they hear here, and they go on a walk every day, and they might like it, turn them on to it. And help them hit that follow, like, or subscribe button. Then they'll get the notifications every day, and the numbers can keep going up, and we can keep making a difference. I do still feel like I know a lot of you listen. I have listeners in all 50 states and in countries around the world, which is really cool. But I do still feel like it's a Midwest podcast, that it's sort of where we live, where I'm from. But it is about our values, and I talk about a lot of national issues and national sports stories and things like that. And I do like issues, not necessarily like local politics, but I do keep my eye on what happens here locally in Kansas and Missouri, and I want that to be a big part of this as well. So if people that you know like that kind of information and want to know what's going on locally, let them know that that's here as well. Although this is much more national in tone than anything I ever did on the radio. And I enjoy that because I'm an American. I'm an American first, you know? I think we need to identify people that way. I've talked about this before. I wish people would identify as Americans more often than they identify as something else first. But that's not where we are right now. We'll work every day to change that. At Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.